The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Tuesday, November the 16th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Georgia is the latest state to sue the Biden administration over vaccine mandates for healthcare workers. As Susanna Capilouto reports, officials say the mandate is unlawful and unconstitutional.
Governor Brian Kemp says Georgia already has a worker shortage in healthcare, and a vaccine mandate will only make things worse. Government data indicates just about 50% of Georgia's population is fully vaccinated, which is among the lowest rates in the country. Kemp calls the federal vaccine mandate a constitutional overreach. The lawsuit argues the vaccine mandate for people who work at Medicare and Medicaid certified facilities was set up without consulting the state. Georgia is among a dozen states that have filed similar lawsuits. Earlier this month, Georgia joined some states in a lawsuit over an OSHA rule requiring vaccinations at private companies with more than 100 employees. Susanna Capilouto, WABE News.
Fulton County officials are again opening an incentive program for residents who get the COVID-19 vaccine. County residents ages 5 and up are eligible for a $100 gift card for getting their first or second dose of the vaccine. Now, the incentive is only available by appointment and at select locations. To find out more about that, just head to FultonCountyGA.gov. That's FultonCountyGA.gov. Georgia is set to receive more than $1 billion for public transit projects from the recently passed infrastructure bill. President Joe Biden signed the bill on Monday, which also includes more money for transit projects in low-income communities. WABE's Emil Moffitt reports.
Okay, here we go.
With Georgia's two U.S. senators, several Democratic House members from Georgia, and Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms in attendance, Biden spoke on the south lawn of the White House.
I truly believe that 50 years from now, historians are going to look back at this moment and say, that's the moment America began to win the competition of the 21st century.
The package includes more than $900 million for public transit upgrades in Metro Atlanta, plus money for low or zero emission buses. The legislation also features language introduced by Senator John Ossoff that increases the amount of federal funding for public transit projects in low-income and low-density neighborhoods. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
A private boarding school in North Georgia has settled a lawsuit by 20 former students who allege a former educator molested them. Terms of the settlement between the victims and the Darlington School in Rome are confidential, says Atlanta attorney Darren Penn. He represents several of the former students who spoke out.
The only thing I can say about any kind of monetary terms or anything like that is that our clients are pleased with the resolution.
In addition to money, the settlement requires enhancements like a tip hotline and faculty training. In a statement, Darlington School apologized to the young men and their families and vowed to prevent anything like it from happening again. Roger Stiefelmeyer, the educator implicated in the alleged sexual misconduct, will not face criminal charges because of a statute of limitations. A civil lawsuit against him is still ongoing. To say the Atlanta Community Food Bank in its new East Point facility is nice or big, well, those would be grand understatements. At nearly 350,000 square feet, it is the largest food bank in the world, according to officials, and it's big enough to take the food bank into the future, no matter what that future entails. Even a pandemic, says Kyle Wade. He is the food bank's CEO.
You know, Jim, we moved in here in March of 2020, about a week before the world changed on all of us. And that was really serendipitous because obviously demand for food assistance increased really dramatically almost overnight. And so having a facility that just had a lot more capacity to get more food to more people more quickly, more often, was really critical for us to be able to effectively respond to the pandemic.
Yesterday, Wade gave me a tour of the facility to show how it's equipped for demand like what we've seen over the past 20 months and beyond, if the circumstance demand. Here's part of our conversation.
We're coming up on the holiday season. What is it looking like this year?
Yeah, so the holidays are always a busy time for the food bank. I think it's a time when a lot of volunteers want to get involved and give back, and so we have an increase in volunteer activity. It's a peak time for fundraising activity. And then the 600-plus community partners we work with to get food to families who need it, they tend to schedule more activity during the holidays. And so it's a time where we're seeing just more product moving through the system. That said, food insecurity is a constant issue throughout the year that we're responding to, but there's certainly a lot more activity during the holidays.
Have you all seen a decrease in demand that you can attribute to the child stimulus payments?
Yeah, so we saw in July when the child tax credit advanced payments started to reach families, we saw an almost immediate overnight decline in demand for food assistance. Those payments have made a huge impact on child poverty and child food insecurity and have contributed to about a 20% decline in demand for us from the peak of the pandemic.
Do you feel that the peak is over?
Yeah, I mean, it remains to be seen kind of what's going to happen long term with the virus. We're optimistic that we're on a good trajectory here to really get this behind us. And if that's true, then we do think that we are at a place where we're kind of stabilizing. We don't anticipate major increases in the near future. That said, there's still some ticking time bombs out there, right? So the virus, we could have a resurgence, and we're all going to pay attention during the holidays to see what happens. We still have a lot of people who are facing kind of this eviction foreclosure issue that's out there, and we don't know what that's going to look like. We're starting to see evictions creep up a little bit right now. And so if some of those things happen, we could see a big increase in demand again.
Kyle Wade is the president and CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And for more information on how to volunteer or support their efforts, just head to their website. Advocates in Georgia are continuing to call for more rental assistance for those struggling to stay in their homes. Dozens of people demonstrated today outside of Georgia state government offices. The protest was part of the national effort from a group called the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, NACA. The group's CEO, Bruce Marks, says federal rental assistance dollars are not reaching tenants fast enough.
$7 billion of rental assistance that is available. It is not getting out. And the Georgia Department of Community Affairs is one of the worst in the country.
The Department of Community Affairs controls most of the federal money Georgia received, nearly $1 billion, but has distributed only $44 million. Officials say the program got off to a slow start in March and is currently taking about a month to process applications. That's it for The Brief. Alex Helmick was both our producer and editor today. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.